Mommy, I'm bored. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
Dad, I'm tired of the swing. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
There's no room to build a sandcastle. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America? Make your day prehistoric at the Bronx Zoo Dinosaur Safari.
Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Greetings!
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines with the Watchman and me. I'm Tower, and we are glad you joined us as we have a great lineup for you tonight. And tonight is January 31st, 2019. Can you believe that? And February 5th in the evening is the new moon to the evening of the 6th of February. And it's Adar 1. And the readings in the Word this week are found in Exodus chapter 21, starting at verse 1 through chapter 24, verse 18. Jeremiah chapter 34, verses 8 through chapter 22. And also chapter 33, verses 25 and 26. The New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42. Also, Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 28. Check out the recent posts by the Watchman. They're very important reads. Breaking forth of the light. Breaking forth in the midst of darkness. There lay the truth, immutable. The coming of the Lord draws nigh. The kingdoms of men fall further into their own ways. The two shall clash. Unmistakably, the truth shall reveal the folly. Also, choosing life and blessing instead of judgment. As Christians, we are not to love the world, nor are we to gratify the lust of the flesh, indulge our eyes in lustful ways, or allowing ourselves to be puffed up by the pride of life. So you can go to warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com to read those articles and more by the Watchman. You can listen to Warn Radio worldwide from your PC, Android, Apple device, and many other avenues. Check out the front page on warn-usa.com for our Spreaker embed and links to other places to listen to. To listen from, like iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Blueberry, and many others. Excuse me. And you can listen to all the shows on the front page of warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And you can also listen and watch all the shows on our warn-usa.com blog and also from Spreaker or the Spreaker app. You can follow Warn Radio on Instagram and Facebook, and also on Twitter, LinkedIn, Tumblr, and others. And tonight on our show, John's Apocalypse, John's Revelation of Jesus Christ, Part 12, Two Beasts on Battle Lines. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm all right.
On this 31st of January, yes siree, it's hard to believe that we're through January.
Yeah,
tomorrow's the 1st.
I can't believe it myself.
And
zipped right on by.
You know, for years I've been saying how fast time goes, and it just does.
It really does.
I just start out on Monday, and of course the schedules, you know, the things that we have lined up, we're always busy. It's just the way it is. And, you know, really, I think that society itself today is busy all the time, too.
I think society is too busy.
I think you're right, and I think they get busy on their smartphones and their computers as well. And, of course, they're busy, you know, and, I mean, there's just so many things that can take your attention. For us, we get through, and, you know, there's just so many areas that we're have to take care of, you know, and it's, you know, it's part of what we do, you know, but it keeps you busy, and time just flies. I was thinking about how fast it was going, because I was putting together something, and I'm trying to think. I was talking to you about it, and we had been doing this for over 21 years, and it's a post that I was working on, I think, that had come up. And I did that post, you know, a long time ago, man, 2014, 2015.
Oh, I know.
And I have posts that we're going back, but we're changing a lot of that because we're not going to keep such extensive archives. We're looking at 4 or 5 years of archives, and that's it. And we'll always get rid of the others. Now, I don't get rid of them. I do have a major storage place. I keep them all. But, you know, we're only going to keep so much online. But it's just the way it is. Of course, now we are, you know, heading into February, and February is a short month, and we, you know, February always goes by fast. And then you get in March, and March is a longer month. But where you run into it is that when you get in that time out of winter, for us it gets real cold here, and you know, that cold spell that you were talking about that hit up north, you know, we were talking about that polar vortex. Well, you know, and the weather that they were talking about is 20 to 30 degrees below zero.
Oh,
and of course, they had the wind blowing. But, you know, we've had to live in 20 to 30 below. When I was raised in Wyoming, it was 40 below for weeks on end. And it got so cold that the gas lines broke, and the company had to fix them. You know, entire towns would go out. No gas for the entire town because it got so cold and broke the gas line. That was in the old days, back in the 60s. But and then when we were up in North Dakota, the wind chill and everything, we used to see 100 below up there. And 80 to 100 below. So it's kind of interesting to see how all this goes, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, as soon as you get that spring thing coming, then time, it does have a tendency to slow down, or seem to slow down, because you want spring to get here. You want every vestige of cold to be gone. You want green grass, and you're planting your gardens, and you're going to be planting. So you got all this stuff that you're planning to do, and it's just like takes forever.
Yeah, yeah, it sure does.
And I remember, you know, you do get like spring fever in here. We've already gotten it this month, but my dad used to tell me in January, you know, he was always restless in January.
Yeah,
because
I remember.
He had gotten through winter, and he was ready for it to be over. He wanted to go. He wanted to leave. He was tired of it. And so when you get over here in the spring, you know, you want this thing, you know, to go. And some of our biggest storms and cold, you know, as far as heavy, deep snow comes in the spring. And so the real, real cold weather usually stays away. But it can get kind of nippy, real nippy around here.
Yeah, more than I like.
Yeah, yeah. So tomorrow, we got Friday, the 1st of February.
Yay.
That's going to be good, yeah. I'm glad that we're getting in February.
Me too.
You know, for us, the spring months, we got a November birthday? Or is it a December birthday?
November. Got February, March, April, May. January, February, March, April, May. October, November, July.
Yeah, pretty much they're in the spring, the beginning of the year. Yeah, that's interesting how that worked out. So at any rate, I don't know. They're planning on the border. We've got about another, we got three more caravans coming up. One of them over 12,000.
That's crazy.
Well, this is all part of a plan, dear. These are globalists. They do not like it. The Koch brothers as well are just like it. Now, Trump invited him to the White House, but they don't like him. They didn't like him the minute he ran. Probably because I don't know why, but they just didn't like him. Of course, the Republicans didn't like him either.
Yeah, I know.
The only people that like Trump are the ones that he was talking to when he was holding his rallies. They're the ones that voted him in.
Yeah, I'm...
So, at any rate, such is life in the fast lane for us. A lot of things going on. And America is America. It's divided, but, you know, there are people more and more that really would like to see more civility. There's a lot of Americans, you know, that do that, that want that. But you get up in some of these things, and you don't get it. You know, you get in the news programs, there's no civility.
You know. There is not. They try to embarrass people and fight against them, humiliate people, make them look stupid, and I'm sick of that. If they don't like your opinion or what you believe in, they try to belittle you.
They do, and we're talking. Even the media does that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was mainly talking about.
And I don't like it. Of course, I don't spend time watching ABC, MSNBC, CBS, and CNN. Uh-oh. I don't ever watch them. I don't listen to them. I don't read anything from them very rarely. I don't follow MSN News. I don't care for Microsoft News. I don't even like Microsoft. I don't care for Microsoft, and I've got Windows 10. I do not care for Facebook. I do not like Facebook. I do not care for Zuckerberg's politics and his globalism. You know, the same way with Google. You know, Google, we used to, at one time, make a pretty decent little wage coming out of Google, but I got rid of it all. We don't have those ads. I got even a thing today from one of our former affiliates, and we're not even affiliate with them anymore. you know, I just don't do it. The only ads you're going to find on our site is actually, it comes from Jetpack, and they handle it. We've never gotten any money from them, but, you know, I mean, it's, as far as I'm concerned, it can go too. I don't care. We do have our books on the websites, and that's about it. We don't have nothing else. We're not going to have nothing else. You know, I don't even like, you know, Google Chrome. But the thing of it is now Microsoft, after all the work that Microsoft did to be separate and come up with a new Windows platform, which was been, I've been there from the beginning. I mean, back in 90 something or odd when the first Windows came out, when Zuckerberg was just starting, I was one of the ones that had his platform, and it crashed all the time. It was a pain. And it did that all the way through. We've had a lot of problems. Now, this new Windows 10, to get to where we're at today, was really a struggle. And it was more than a struggle. It was a pain. And if you didn't know how to do it, a lot of people couldn't do it. It was too much. But because I know how to do a lot of this stuff, I can do it, but it was really, really a pain to get it going. But the biggest thing was Edge. Edge was a pain. I refused to use it, to even use it for a long time. And then they got it better. So now that they're getting it better, guess what? They're going to get rid of it, and they're going to put the Chrome engine on it. And I thought to myself, God, you know, you people are so fickle.
Oh, I know.
You know, you push us through this just a load of crud. So, at any rate, I got a new browser for you all out there, if you're interested in a browser that's put together by a bunch of people that really don't like to be connected to Google and all them. It's called Vivaldi. What is it? Vivaldi?
Vivaldi.
Vivaldi, thank you, yeah.
Took me a minute to think what it
I'm
was.
I'm glad you did, because, you know, it's a big orange spot with a big V in it. But, I mean, we have Fox, but, you know, Fox is really not, they've got their own agendas, too. They came out not too long ago, a couple years ago, and had a company policy that I disagreed with. Morally, so I don't really do that. Google is getting too big, so I don't like them, but I do have Google Chrome. But it's getting to the point that, you know, you don't really have much of a choice of anything. But Vivaldi is good, and there's also, of course, Opera has the Chrome engine. And of course the most popular one on the internet today is Chrome. And Edge, I don't know how the stats on that pull out. Edge has really been a pain. I use it. It does stream high def a lot better than a lot of them, but you know, it's been a real pain because they did away with a lot of stuff, which they pretty much had to do, you know.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be more secure. And so at any rate, I don't know. So at any rate, let's see. The one thing that did come out, the Microsoft server, their Windows servers were having issues with being hacked. There was a problem and a weakness that they had no solution for. I don't have any details. The details were out there. And that just happened a day or two ago. So they could. There's a vulnerability that was discovered. They're always discovering that. There's always people that are trying to hack.
Oh, I know. I'm sick of the wickedness.
Yeah.
Why they have to do this kind of stuff, just, I can't understand it.
Because they're wicked. And of course, you know, you have everybody coming in across the border, the Democrats won't do anything. So we are truly, you know, when you look at it, and I've been saying this for a long time, you're in those end of days that are perilous. You're in those days that the lawlessness that Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians 2, I've talked about that a lot. We're right in the middle of that. And that's really the reason why America is like that, because this is the characteristics of this particular day and age. And this is also why the love of many are going to wax cold, because of this particular thing. But even in spite of that, we've been reporting a big number of miracles and people getting saved you know, in missions, reports kept flowing in from native pastors and churches. And so God is moving.
Yes, amen.
And, you know, the Lord isn't asleep. He's there. But, you know, in America, we have rejected the truth. We have. And more and more you see that group of people that reject basic Christianity and the faith thereof. We used to take it for granted a long time ago that this was a Christian nation. It never really was. It had a majority of Christian faith here and people that believe, but there was always pagans and godless people here. Today, it's even worse. It's the worst it's ever been. And, of course, I did see a testimony from, I think it was a congresswoman. It was some woman in politics who had voted for that late-term abortion thing, you know, after birth.
Yeah.
You know, and she regretted. She said, I voted the wrong way.
Yeah, you sure did, woman. That's horrifying.
Yeah.
Wonder how many others regret that they voted that way, too.
Well, some people, you know, sometimes they don't make it clear what those bills are.
Well, this is true, too.
You know, and that's the problem you get into. You know, when New York came out and they were celebrating it, they made it sound like they were celebrating the fact that they could kill babies in the womb, you know, when the mother's about ready to deliver. And that's really what the bill says. Even afterwards, you know, and I talked about that. You know, it's horrible. There was something in there about the mother's heart, about the baby's heartbeat, if they didn't, you know, hear the heartbeat. But the people that I saw on it that were commenting on it, the experts said that the bill was so open that they could really get away with a lot of stuff in there.
Well, that's terrible.
So, you know, I mean, but the states are lining up to do that right now. And you know, they're... You know, they talk about this big pro-life. They talked about overturning Roe v. Wade. But the last justice in the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, he said that, you know, abortion, the Roe v. Wade, that's the law of the land now. And that's all what he said about it. He says, well, you know, they ask him if he'd overturn it. And he says, well, it's the law of the land now. And it sounded like, no, he wouldn't, because it's the law of the land. And they found out that although he was supposed to be this conservative, he has a history of kind of going with the flow on a lot of these things and not, you know, if it's already a law, not to overturn it or cause trouble in that way. But when you have all these states willingly going through doing this, I mean, this is a state issue. You know, and what people don't understand is this is blood guilt. This is bringing judgment on your nation.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible.
And, you know, I don't know. None of it looks very good. Well, at any rate, we're going to, we got to get going on this.
Okay. Hang on a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
Tonight on... In our study, Apocalypse John's Revelation of Jesus Christ, Part 12, two beasts, we will begin in Revelations 12:17 with the confrontation of the dragon and the woman, then the war with the remnant of her seed. These keep the testimony of Jesus Christ and his commandments. We proceed to Chapter 13 and the two beasts, along with all the overriding accompaniments to this rule of evil. And now back to you.
Thank you, Tower.
You're welcome. I'll see you on the other side.
Yep. Well, like Tower said, we're in Revelation 12, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we covered this last time, but there is a lot of different, when we look at the dragon, you know, of course that is, you know, when we talk about the dragon, we talk about the beast, the dragon, Lucifer, Satan, all referring to the same individual. But this dragon is here to illustrate how mean and nasty that this thing is. He was wroth or mad, which wroth, when I read wroth, I see borderline schizophrenically mad, willing to do anything. In this case, he's so mad with a woman that he goes after her children. Now, see, you will find in a lot of interpretations as we go through this, you'll find a lot of them who will put this whole chapter as being the church itself. But although having said that, and I did talk about that last time, and I also talked about the fact that, you know, when we look at it, there's only one woman who gave birth to the Messiah, and that was Israel. And of course, we read that in Revelation 12. But in the same fact, we go clear back to the promise of Abraham, and the promise of Abraham basically was that in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Well, the problem that you have is that the redemption first went to Israel and then to the Gentiles. And so God had decided that he would pick Israel out, and that's where the promise went through. The promise for the Messiah, the promise for Israel to get the land and all the things that was encompassed in Abraham. Now, when you follow this on through and eventually you come on down the line, that promise of Abraham ends up going all the way through. And, of course, the promise itself came through Isaac. And, of course, you have the other Ishmael being the Arab tribes, that they too were fathered by Abraham, but the promise didn't go through that. And that's why today, when you read, you know, in Islamic faith, they will quote Abraham a lot. But see, you know, God promised to make, at least that's what the angel said, he would make him into a great nation. That would be the Arab states, and he did, the Arab nation, the Arab arm of Ishmael. But the promise of the Messiah, the promise that was for Israel, did not go through Ishmael. It went through Isaac. And it is out of that same promise that the Messiah came, and he came through the line of Judah. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so, when we get into this part now, we have the woman went to make war with the remnant of her seed. And the remnant of her seed, these are the ones that are left. These are the ones here that in the earth, we don't see here Jew, Gentile, male, female. We see simply that these people keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, see, we got a lot of issues with this. Now, I don't, but a lot of, especially the Gentiles, because they associate keeping the commandments of God as being the law. And when you keep the law, you can't be justified by the law. So many of the Gentile churches have a big, big problem with this when you talk about that. Although the Lord himself said in John 15, among many other places, that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And John 15, he says it several times there. And there is the commandments that you keep. And even the apostles taught, and they had commandments, and they taught things, but they taught what the Lord taught. And the Lord said everything that he gave, these are things the Father had given him. And so everything that came out in the New Testament was a fulfillment of that which came out of the prophets and the Old Testament. But there's still some things in prophecy that need to be fulfilled concerning Israel. And because, as Paul pointed out in Romans 11, that God is not cast away Israel, but they are, they are favored for the electate, the election of grace. And so they are an elect. And it's because of that grace, and God favors them because they did come out of Abraham in the original. And so he hasn't thrown them away. And there will come a time when they will recognize who the Messiah is. Now, when we get into this part here, these are people that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 12:11, again, it says they overcame him, meaning the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb, which means you're born again, you know him, you repented. Like he said in John chapter 1, he went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. And then you get over into John 3, and it says you must be born again of the Spirit. Now, all this basically relates the gospel, and it relates those that come to the Lord receiving him, having repented. You find the repentance in 1 John 7 through 9. You find repentance in, you get into Romans chapter 3 through 7, for instance. So you see this whole thing put together, and it's by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. And it's through that atoning work of the blood. And of course, that's why John called the Lord the Lamb of God, which took away which takes away the sins of the world. And so, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. That's Revelation 12:11. Now, 12:17 said, the dragon was wroth. Now, this is all in the same context, so you can't take that out. So, these are people that have been born again by the blood of the Lamb. These are genuine believers in the Messiah. And they overcome by the testimony. It says, by the word of their testimony. This says, have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the second thing. And keep the commandments of God. And the other one says, which love not their lives unto death. This all describes who the remnant is. These are people that have been born again, who have received the Lord. They are born again. They have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And they have the testimony of Jesus Christ, what he's done for them, and everything with that. That is our duty, to give the testimony of Jesus Christ to this generation. And they also love not their lives unto the death. And of course, that goes back to when the Lord said, if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you shall find it. Now, that's what we're looking at when we talk about Revelation and the remnant. There is a remnant of believers, and this one also says keeps the commandments of God, which follows exactly what the Lord said and even John says it in 1 John. But the Lord talks about it in John 15, keeping the commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So you can't throw out the commandments. And, and I've talked about this a lot, and I don't want to beat it around the bush. But this is basically, who we're looking at. These are the remnant. They know the Lord. Now, one thing that you find, especially with the pre-trib rapture, and this could also possibly happen during the midterm rapture, and that is the fact that in the Gentile church, and I'll just tell you, the Assemblies of God teach it too, that all the Christians, and of course, if you get into some other ones, there's a lot of good Christian movies that feature a pre-trib rapture, and everything's going to, hell in a handbasket, and the Christians are gone, and the only people left are the ones who were backslid Christians and others who never received them, and they begin to be persecuted. So they take the Christians out. And this is what pretty much a lot of the dispensational and a lot of, especially in America, Christians actually believe. They've been taught that, and they believe they're not going to be here for this. And, of course, you know, I don't believe that. I don't think Scripture, and I'm not alone in that. There's a lot of us that, you know, to me, it doesn't make that much difference. You're going to leave when the Lord says. Doesn't matter whether you believe He is or not. You don't go in the rapture because you believe that you're going to go in the rapture. You go in the rapture because, well, first of all, there isn't going to be a rapture, but He's coming back to receive you unto Himself. That's what really happens. And if we get into the nitty-gritty of it, I've given you all these things before. In John, He says, I pray thee, Father, that you would not take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. I gave you also Luke 21, 34, I think it is, where He says, watch and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That's a command. So there are some of these things that the Lord requires you to do, and He also says that He asks the Father to keep you from the evil. And basically, I mean, we really have seen that in a lot of the testimonies that we've been doing on our advocacy program of Christians being delivered by the power of God from radical Muslims who were shooting at them one minute, trying to kill them, and the next minute they were saved by the power of God. I mean, we're talking viable appearances, personal experiences of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only to the believers, but to Christians, and I mean, to the Muslims who were trying to kill him. This is going on right now, as we speak. It's been going on. So, you know, and this is what you're going to have to decide. You know, if you think you're going to go in the rapture and you want to believe that this is just a bunch of backslidden people that suddenly got saved and a bunch of Jews that came to the Lord, fine. I don't, you know, it doesn't make any difference to me. If that's what you want to believe, help yourself. That's not what this thing says. The context doesn't say that. Matter of fact, nowhere in Revelation are you going to find a seven-year tribulation. You find approximately 3.5 years. Actually, it's a little bit more than that, depending on where you look. That's accounted because of the various other prophecies that have to take place. You know, but it's really described in Scripture metaphorically as time, and half a times, and we describe that as 3.5 years. That's basically where you get that. So this is the real thing. But you get into Revelation. Let's get into Revelation. The remnant seed that know the Lord, okay, they keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And there's other things that they do. And we'll go through those. There's a whole list of them. There's a few of them. There's the patience of Jesus Christ, and there's the faith of Jesus Christ. By the time you put these, and I call them the marching orders, the remnant marching orders, these are things that God says, this is what the remnant does when this thing begins to come down. When this thing begins to come down, you better pay attention, because this is what the remnant is going to be doing. And in order, you know, to understand this, that's where you need to be. I hate to tell you this, but there's a whole bunch of people are going to find themselves here, and they're going to be looking around wondering where the rapture is. But somewhere down the road, there will be. I mean, not a rapture per se. I don't like the word rapture, raptura. You know, the Lord is going to receive you unto Himself. And, of course, this would have to be pretty much at the end of it all. But at any rate, we're going to cover that. And I have, you know, I'll show you a place. There is a place, and I think I've mentioned it before, exactly where that could occur. Okay, the remnant of her seed. Now, even when we look at the woman, that is, and you consider the woman being Israel, and now see, in this particular little thing here, when we talk about the remnant, there are going to be Jew, Gentile, male, female, all one in Christ doing this during this time. You're also going to find that you're not going to have a lot of denominations here. By the time this thing really comes down and the dark one comes, the only people that will have a viable church even standing around will be those in bed with the darkness. Kind of like in China right now, you have the Christians closed down, you have many of them in prison, and you have a communist church where they give adherence to the communists first and then to God. It's kind of like this, like was going around, and this was the news we covered over in China. And this, of course, comes out of China Aid and Bob Fu, which has been doing this for a long time. At any rate, they had some of the local government going around in some provinces in China. And they were going around to those who were poor, those who had had stuff from the government. Of course, they're communists, so they give a lot of money, to a certain amount to people. Enough to eat, enough to get by, and stuff like that. And so they had made a policy saying that if you get any kind of form of help from the government whatsoever, you cannot have a Christian material up on your walls and all this other stuff. You can't have a church. You can't say that, for instance, God has provided. They believe that since they're communists and they don't believe in God, that all the things on your walls that say God provides for you and he is there doesn't amount to anything because God didn't give it to you, they did. So they want you to give glory to them and to their leaders and things like that. That's the way communism works. Well, when you get into the Antichrist, when you get into the beast, he's going to take that up about 100 notches. And of course, we know you're not going to be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark. So this is really where the whole play in this comes in, that there's going to be control. So you're not going to find all these easy-peasy churches that are making millions of dollars and they're a non-profit and don't have to pay a bit of taxes. And you won't find all the millionaire preachers. You won't find all the multi-millionaire evangelists. You won't find them flying around in huge jets. There's a different life out there when you talk about what the true Christian church is and what's going on, and then you see what's happening in America and a lot of these rich nations. It's all going to be gone, folks. It's just like the other day. Now, Tower was talking about this. She had noticed it first, and it was a guy that was a member. And Tower, you can tell me if I miss it here. But he was a member of a pastor of a 7,000 member church, I think it was, a mega church. And he had been molesting children all along for many years. It made the news on CNN and things. But see, you can't have mega churches and expect to get fed when your pastor is molesting. And he's not the only one. There's a lot of these mega pastors that are not preaching the gospel as they should. They're not standing where they need to be standing. And the people that are growing up are anemic. They're still on milk and they're not on meat. So I try to give you the meat of it. So when you come to this and it's really happening, you can sink your teeth into the gospel and into the meat of the discipleship portion. And you can say, I'm ready. I'm prepared. Because if you're not prepared for this, and if you're thinking that you're going to go in some foo-foo rapture before any trouble hits, you got another thing coming. And I'm going to tell you, I've got a whole college I graduated from full of PhDs, and they all disagree with me. Well, that's fine, because I've got some PhDs that agree with me. Frankly, I don't care. I don't live from day to day worrying about when the rapture is. I don't care. Now, not everybody can be like that. But the bottom line of it is that these people, when we talk about coming out of the woman, you had the woman who was out of Israel. She gave birth to the Messiah. And that Messiah is saving both Jew and Gentile. And when you get into the Revelation, and when you get into the remnant, this is what they're going to be doing. But there's something specific concerning the Jews. And you can find it in Deuteronomy 4. And I went over this, but I want to do it again. And this is when they have fallen away, this talks about. But by verse 29, he says, "But if from thence," you know, when you fall away and you wind up in tribulation, you're having all kinds of trouble. And it does say later on, it'll say even in the latter days, listen to this, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." When you are in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days. Do you get that? The latter days. Now this perfectly describes Israel in the last days when they begin to realize, and of course Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 all talk about the time when the times of the Gentiles are over, the blindness on Israel is over, and there is a time when they come to realize who the Messiah is. And he says, when you are in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient to his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he swore unto them. And of course, this all has the meat of it when we talk about this, because in the last days, there's not only the remnant of his seed, but there's Israel who is yet to be unblinded, who will, through this tribulation, come to know him. The whole purpose is to bring both Jew and Gentile, male and female, everyone in one in Christ. That's what's going to happen. And they're going to be in one, whether you like it or don't like it. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:21, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now see, you don't find many Gentile churches, especially in America, preaching that you've got to keep his commandments. Now, Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, this is how they said it in this verse. This doesn't mean, well, it's contradictory. No, this is in the context of the chapters of what we're dealing with. And when you take context, you take the context of the chapters, you can even take the context of the books, and you take the context of the verses themselves, and the verses themselves and the context will explain where this thing is going. So you have this, the patience of the saints, these that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So this is important, these things. So, and I give you these things so you don't think that I'm just telling you that all this stuff is just for the Jews. There's nothing that says that the church isn't going to be here. There's nothing that says that you're going to be leaving in a rapture right now. There's nothing that says that, you know, the only people you find in Revelation are the messianic believers. That's a bunch of nonsense. But that's what you're taught. And there's a lot of people that teach this in seminaries. I call them cemeteries. You see, some of the biggest heresies that you're going to find, and of course, I think it was Dr. Ward Williams, who was my Life of Christ teacher, great man, he helped me a lot. And I think it was him that said that the biggest heresies that come down will come through the highest portion of your seminaries and stuff, clear on the top where they're doing the stuff, and it funnels on down the line. It gets into those seminarians who graduate with their PhDs and all their other stuff. They get into the churches. Then they end up teaching these heresies, and the heresies become things that, well, they believe them, and then it goes on from there. And so now you've got a whole bunch of stuff that people believe that is not going to happen. And so just like there's a lot of people that don't believe America will ever fall because this is America. Well, you know, guess what? Israel thought that Israel would never fall, and Judah didn't think Judah would fall because they had the priests, they had the prophets, they had the temple there. They had the king there. This was the city of David. This is they had it because of David and God's promise to David. Well, guess what? Because they were so sinful, God sent the whole works into captivity for 70 years. Number 7, multiplied. And you take 7. 7 times 10, another fullness number, 10. That's the perfect judgment there for 70 years. That was a statement for what they had done. And the temple was destroyed. The prophets and the priests were taken into captive or killed. The king wound up being blinded. A lot of things happen. And so if God does that to his own people, his own temple, and his own priests, and his own prophets, don't tell me that God won't do it to America or some other Gentile nation. You don't know what you're talking about. I don't care if you're a PhD, you don't know what you're talking about. Because God is no respecter of persons. Now, having said all that, have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And an example of this is Paul. And, of course, he's talking to Israel. Now, this is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is how Paul did it. Then Paul stood up and, beckoning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel and you that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought them out of it. About the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness, and when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. After that he gave unto them judges about the space of 400 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now this is where he gets into it. Of this man's seed, this is of David, has God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Now that is the testimony of Jesus Christ and his roots. And that's why when you get into it, you have the word of your testimony in Revelation 12:11. And the testimony of Jesus in verse 17. And then in Revelation 14:12, you have the patience of the saints. And that is there to tell you about all the things you have to go through. You have to keep that patience. Have patience. We call it the word of his patience. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And of course, Revelation 22, those that have right to the tree of life and enter into the city do so because they keep his commandments. So this is the remnant. These are born-again, on-fire believers, and they're going to not just die, they're going to have miracles and signs and wonders. And we can find this through various other scriptures, including scriptures in Daniel. And we type them out from Daniel because we believe the same thing is going to be happening here through the witness of the Holy Spirit. And what we see today, we see miracles and signs and wonders performed through believers, and the believers, and many times they don't even have nothing to do with it. It just happens, and they're there. Many times they're out, they're fasting on regular basis, and I mean we're talking 21-day fasts. So you have this ability that in the midst of a war, you see the presence of God stand up, Christ appearing and delivering his people. And that's mighty works, miraculous things. And of course, in Revelation 13, we're going to read about that war with the saints. And it's interesting that all the stuff that is coming out of that. Now we're now in Revelation 13 and verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, of course, they're going to be blasphemous. Now, even the woman in Revelation 17 rides to power on the back of the beast, and she has a cup filled with blasphemy. Where did she get it? She got it from the beast. And, of course, the beast is Satan. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. He was a murderer from the beginning, you know, when we talk about it. He would do anything to get people to lose their salvation, their souls. You know, he's responsible for a third of the angels that fell. And they have no redemption. There's no redeeming for them. And, of course, the beast. We look here and we see a beast that is very dangerous, very wild. And, of course, we see the red dragon in another one. We see the beast here. The beast really shows you the root of the individual. You're not going to see a beast. You're going to see a human that will be filled with this beast. And a lot of times, especially when we read this, Satan is a copycat. And so as Christ came and he died on the cross and was resurrected later, so this Antichrist, this beast, this dark one is going to die. He's going to be wounded mortally, and he's going to arise from the dead. And, of course, that will, you know, I mean, if you're fighting an enemy and you kill him, and several days later he's back up on the field, you're going to say, well, you know, we already tried to kill him, and there he is, you know, and if you can't kill him, how do you fight him? And, of course, he will have the power. So there's some major things here when we talk about the seven heads. Of course, that just gives them the power. And it's the number seven for completion of power, complete power, absolutely. There's, of course, it's all within the scope of what God the Father has given him. That's what we say is complete power. It's what God has given him. The seven mountains on which the women sit, many people see this as Rome, the seven mountains around Rome. That's what I mean with the number seven. There were seven kings, Revelation 17. And of course, in that one, it says five are fallen, one is, another is yet come. And when he comes, he will continue a short space. The beast is the eighth to come. And we'll get to that. And of course, when we talk about seven being completeness, Cain in Genesis 4:15, there was a sevenfold curse, and that was too much. The enemies would flee seven ways before you. That was what would happen when people came up against the blessing of God, like blessing Israel, and the enemy came up. That's Deuteronomy 28:7. Praise God seven times a day. That's a psalmist in 119, actually, the big psalm. And that's the completion. That's a fullness of your worship of God. Sevenfold forgiveness, Luke 17:4. Of course, he said 70 times seven, but that is all sevens. 70 is seven multiplied, you know, times 10. 10 is a complete number. And of course, it's complete because you have five virgins and you had five wise and five foolish. But it's a complete number, just like seven is incomplete. But we call seven God's perfect number, while you talk about the ten being more of a completion and a full number concerning those things God is dealing with, like the church, the people of God. Sevenfold forgiveness, the seven churches of Revelation, Revelation 1:4, the seven golden candlesticks, Revelation 1:12, seven stars, Revelation 1:16, the seven angels of the churches, Revelation 1:20. Now this all represents the church of God. It represents the angels in the churches themselves, and how God is dealing with them, and the fact that Christ was over them all. And so that's why when we see the number seven, it's intensity, completeness, expresses the whole that God is doing, and is perfect. Seven lamps of fire, Revelation 5:1. The seven spirits of God, Revelation 1:4. There's the seven eyes of in Revelation 5:6, all seeing, complete. Seven angels and seven trumpets, Revelation 8:2. Seven thunders, Revelation 10:3. You know, although what the thunder said was sealed. That's an interesting one, because there's seven thunders and it doesn't let you know what they are. Which would give you the completeness, the fullness of the secrets of God, and those things that you may not know yet, that it's, although you think you know everything, there is something there's a whole bunch you don't know. See, we know only what God has revealed to us, but there's a whole bunch we don't know. The seven mountains in Revelation 17:9, that's associated with Rome. Seven kings, Revelation 17:10. Of course, many people believe that when the beast rules, he will rule from Rome. But see, we also see in Rome the Roman Church, which I call the Roman Church. It's Catholic Church, but it's the Roman Church. This particular church will be tied in, more than likely, in its fullness with the rule of the beast. So, and it doesn't mean that everybody in the Catholic Church is going to hell in a handbasket. I've known a lot of Christians. Of course, we saw the charismatic movement come out of there and things like that. So, it's, you know, and I've taught on this too when we got on the churches. We find in the churches that even when God judges them, there are those that know him, and that he doesn't require of them anything more than to keep what they have going. Ten horns denotes power, an aggressive strength. And you find this in Daniel's visions in chapter 7 and 8 and in Revelation 17. The ten crowns, of course, that's royalty, office, and power. That is that thing that you have been given. It's complete. Ten is, I call it complete, but you could say a rounded total, a sacred number. Ten virgins, ten pieces of silver, 10 days of tribulation for Smyrna. And like in Smyrna's case, it's not going to be 10 days. 10 is a fullness number, a rounded total, a sacred number. It just means there's a certain period of time when that tribulation is going to be over. And he told them, be faithful 10 days and even unto death. And of course, Revelation, when we look in Revelation 12:11, that's what it says. They love not their lives unto death. You are led as sheep to a slaughter. And of course, it's interesting that when you look at this, we in the church in America, and I say we because I was caught up in it too. We all were. We all have been. And I'm not saying every church is bad. I'm not saying that they were all worthless. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that there are things that we'd better wake up to. Within the church and outside the church, because when this comes down, the fire is going to go through everything. And unless you have the right stuff, you ain't going to get through this. blasphemy, each head, a name of blasphemy, each head had an attribute of God ascribed to it, thus blaspheming God. Blasphemy in the Greek is defamation, evil speaking. So at any rate, and then, of course, the beast coming up out of the sea, that, of course, is people, multitudes, nations. In other words, he comes out of the midst of the people. Now, he was always there. Now, see, we get We have actually three individuals. We've got the beast, we've got the second beast, which we call the false prophet. We also have the son of perdition. The son of perdition is the same thing when we look at between him and the beast. The beast is named the beast because of his roots of where he came from. The son of perdition is named the son of perdition by Paul because of what he does. He is going to give people miracles and signs and wonders. He's going to set himself up as God in the temple of God, and he's going to lead them into perdition. He will be appear as an angel of light. And so this is another character in this, the same one, but another look at really what he's going to do. There's the beast that has the power and the authority to rend and tear and just take over the entire earth. Then you have part of him that's able to appear as an angel of light and bring forth the fact that he tells you he's God, and people are going to follow him. So he comes out of the sea, and he was always there, but he hasn't been revealed. And that's the same thing when we look at the son of perdition. You're not going to know the son of perdition. You're not going to know these people until they are revealed. You will see them. Christians will know who they are. True believers will know. You will know when you see him. None of this stuff, well, you know, and I've been doing this for a long time, not just for 21 years here. We started out in the 70s, folks. So we've been around for a long time. And I can tell you, it's real easy. You have someone come up and they get popular, they get elected or something. Before long, someone says, well, he's the Antichrist. And I don't know how many Antichrists I've seen. Some of them said, well, he is the Antichrist, he's the devil, and that's what they were speaking of Obama. I told people, I said, he's not the Antichrist. He has Antichrist tendencies. He has policies that are Antichrist. But he's not the Antichrist, and he has a power of darkness on his side. But John said, even at his time, there's a lot of Antichrists even then. Antichrist is nothing new. Antichrists are all over the place. Matter of fact, a lot of Islam is anti-Christ. Yeah, they have a Christ, but he's not like our Christ. He's anti-Christ. They don't believe the Father had a son. And John says that's anti-Christ. And they're not the only ones. We have lots of people. Communist China. They just don't believe in it, but they're anti-Christ. And so This is the thing. We're not waiting for the Antichrist. The Antichrists are all over the place. We're not waiting for the beast, but he's going to show up. We're not looking for all of this. It's going to happen. Why? Because the world rejects the love of the truth, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2. That's the gospel. They will reject the gospel. They will reject the Father, the Son, and everything connected to it. They will reject Christianity, Christian churches, everything they've ever done. They will even reject Israel. Now, let me get down here. So the bottom line here is that in verse 1, ultimate power given to him when he rises up out of the sea, out of the midst of the nation. And you could have been looking at this dude and never known that that's what he was until he's ready. And when he comes out and begins to make war, he's venomous, deadly, and of course, you can get into Psalm 2 and read about some more of this from that end. You can also get into Isaiah 24 to read a little more about the Great Tribulation and the signs and things that happened. And of course, in Revelation 17:12, and the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings which were received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now, of course, this is not 1 hour. This is just a time. This is a limited time. And because it takes more than 1 hour to get down to where they're going. And these are people that are going to be from all over, all regions. Basically, you're going to have the beast, which will appear as the last great conqueror of the Gentiles. You had Alexander the Great and many others. And Napoleon, a lot of others. And this one that's going to stand up will be the last great leader of the Gentile nations. And guess what they're going to do? They're all going to make war against Israel. And of course, God tells you why. Because he is going to put a hook in their nose and drag them down there, because he's going to judge them there. And so when they go down there, they're planning on destroying all of Israel. And of course, the battle itself is actually described in the last chapter of Zechariah. And it's really an interesting chapter to read. And so it's going to be quite a battle when that happens. But the ten horns, they receive the power. And of course, before they even get that, the demons have to go out, which comes, of course, from the Dark One. And they go out and go forth, and they enter into these kings and convince them to follow him. And that's what they do. And, of course, they get there, and that's where they meet their demise. I mean, you're not going to have power because you're dead. You're gone. And these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now, this is what makes him so formidable. He's going to literally take all of that. Now, see, when we talk about the times of the Gentiles being over, the times of the Gentiles are not officially over until the rule of the greater son of David, because he's going to rule and reign in Jerusalem, in the temple. Of course, it's got to get cleansed. There's another group of things that have to go on in here. But you have all this happening down there. And they give everything to this beast. And he's going to have all this power, all this strength, and he's going to go down there to destroy every last vestige of Israel. But what they're all doing is coming to their demise. Now, of course, a long time ago, this is probably mid-80s, there were teachings going on at that time that Jesus was going to come out of the clouds in a spaceship, you know. Matter of fact, L.A. Marzulli and I taught on the alien gospel. We discussed that. There is the alien gospel, and so you have these things where people actually believe this. Now, see, this guy could actually be trying to put all this together because he thinks that there's going to be some kind of alien invasion. Who knows? I don't go over there. I don't worry about it. And of course, in my next book, I'm going to be writing some of this in there about how you get aliens. So that'll be interesting. So at any rate, so these have one mind and give their power and strength unto the beast. And they will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Now see, this is why it's not going to be aliens and spaceship trying to overthrow them. Now see, when you talk about aliens and kidnappings and all this other stuff, and there's a whole bunch of people that spend time, all their time on Nephilim, on aliens, and the demon seed and all this other stuff. Tom Horn does this, and he's real popular. There's a lot of them that do it. I don't do it. Not interested. Don't care. It has nothing to do with the bottom line of where we're going. All those sidetrack the whole issue. Here, they're going to make war with the Lamb. Now, if you see a spaceship, and he gets out of there, and he says, "I'm Jesus, I'm Yahshua," you had better run the other way. Because no son of God, hear me, needs a spaceship. Now, on the other hand, in the spirit world, the demons can pretty much go from place to place without the need of spaceships because they're spirits. When they materialize, and some of them materialize in this world, they materialize in vehicles like that, spaceship. And believe me, there is a false Christ out there who will call him Jesus, himself that, who is not Jesus, who is from the dark side, and who will stand alongside the Mahdi, if you're going there. Now, see, a lot of these different philosophies and things I'm just throwing in. What I'm looking at is the Word of God. Now, I don't care how many friggin' spaceship and aliens and things running around. When they show up, I rebuke them in Jesus' name, or if they try. And I don't like to talk about it, but I'm telling you, there are enough bad things in the spirit world that can materialize, and they can appear to you, and you have to understand these are the ones that will take you to hell. I mean, they will lead you to hell if you let them. You have got to keep in the Word of God. Don't wander off into all the side things, and understand, when that beast comes down to Israel on the outskirts in Megiddo, he's not coming to fight the Nephilim. He's not coming to fight spaceships. He's not coming to fight America. He's not coming to fight Israel, because Israel, he could care less. He's going to destroy him anyway, he thinks. He's coming down there with one purpose, because he knows the Lamb is coming. And if he's got all of the world on his side, he believes that he can overthrow the Lamb. He believes that he will ascend above the throne of God. And when he comes, it also talks in Revelation, he will destroy those who have destroyed the earth. Now, there are those people that are working today to bring about the coming of the beast. They are working to destroy this earth, to bring about everything in order to bring in the kingdom that they want. And I can tell you who some of them are. Some of them are Iran and also Turkey with Erdogan, both of them, and even communist China. Putin and Russia would do the same thing. They would destroy the earth in order to get what they wanted. And what we see in Revelation is a time period when everything comes to its fullness. The wickedness and all of this comes to its full. And that's why in Revelation you see they're getting ready to harvest everything, because evil is at its peak. And there's those, and that's why the Lord says in the last chapter of Revelation, the one thing he sums up to tell all people who read that book, and he says, you know, if you do wickedness, let them do wicked. You know, if you want to be wicked, continue to do wickedness. If you want to be righteous, continue to be righteous. It's a whole section in there, a whole little part. The point with Revelation is that it is a time when wickedness will grow to harvest, righteousness will grow to harvest, and the righteousness in Revelation overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and the love of their lives, not unto death. They have the faith of Jesus, they have the patience of the saints, and they keep that testimony. Now you see, that's it, because some of them will be thrown in prison. Some will be killed right away. Well, when you're killed right away, well, you don't have to worry about patience. But when you're thrown in that deep, dark, dank cell and you starve to death or whatever, that takes the patience, and you have to believe. Be faithful 10 days unto death, and I will give you life, you know. So there's a difference. And then the unrighteous, they grow too, and we see what they're like. And so you have these two growing to harvest. And in the midst of that is the chaos and fighting. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now, see, if we were talking about a pre-trib rapture, it would be at this point, I mean, not a pre-trib, but at the end of the trib, you know, when Christ comes again. This is where we would see that. And it's interesting because you can look at this in certain verses, and you can see a place in there that is a time period when he's going to come back with them, and there's no other opportunity but here. And so we have them all together. And, of course, there's a couple of different scenarios on how that happens when they are all gathered, and they will be all gathered. Revelation 17:15, he said unto me, the waters which you saw where the whore sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And, of course, let me look and see where we're at here, because we are a long ways we are a long ways away from where we need to be. That's three. Let me see. Because I've got three major theorems I want to go through here. And of course, these are regular theorems that theology teachers and people that study have come out with. There's all kinds of this stuff. I think what we're going to do here, because by the time we get in here, I want to keep them together by the time we get down here, because we have... So I think we'll... I'm missing one little thing here. Because there's so much to this. It's, when you get into it, there is just... Okay, this is Revelation. This is 13. There's so much here. It just absolutely amazes me. So at any rate, I think what we're going to do is hold off on that, because I've got three major theorems, a lot of in-depth stuff. So we're going to hold off here, because there is tons and tons of stuff yet. That's why it's so hard to get through Revelation, especially if you're covering all the various things you got to cover. And because we get up here and... So we made it, if I'm reading right, I made it to, I don't even think I made it to verse 2. Because, you know, I'm giving you other stuff, and that other stuff, oh dear God, there's just a lot of it. And of course, this is really the fun part. This is the part where I've covered a lot of this, but yet, we're going to go into the various theories. And, of course, the theory is just that. It's a theory. These are what people have looked at, and maybe it's going to happen this way. But it helps you give insight into the fact that, you know, this is really quite a book. But more than that, it is... The purpose of this is that Christ is coming. Christ is coming. And he's going to rule and reign. And that's the important thing. And so, you know, when I look at this, you think, where is America? Well, America, she's going to be right in the middle of it. She's going to be caught up in the same thing the rest of the nations are. But I think that there will be a portion here that, you know, America's going to be there for Israel when they try to destroy her. America's going to be caught up, and it's going to be the same thing. And when we look at all of this, doesn't matter whether you're in America or Australia or Great Britain, this is going to be worldwide. And when the armies of the East move, it's going to be devastating, because a third of mankind's going to die. And I don't know anybody, when we talk about third of mankind, you know, that's a lot of people. And man, it's going to affect you wherever you're at. And it ain't going to make any difference, you know, if you're here at the time, whether you believed in the pre, mid, or post tribs, raptures, it ain't going to make any difference. There's only going to be one thing that matters. It isn't going to be your church, you know, your theological basis. That's what I'm meaning. Whether you're Baptist or Assembly of God or Catholic or whatever you are, it ain't going to matter. And the real truth of this came through when ISIS went through the Middle East 2014, 2015. We covered that extensively, as I've said many times. And ISIS did not care who they were killing. When they came to a church, it didn't matter whether it was a Catholic church or Protestant church or what. There was one thing, only one thing. Would you serve, you know, are you going to become a Muslim? That's it. When you get to the Antichrist, there's only going to be one thing. They don't care what denomination, they don't care your theology, they don't care how much money, they don't care nothing. They don't care your color, they don't care your rank, they don't care nothing except you need to become like us, period. So folks, when you get into the main part of this tribulation, you're going to be all one in Christ, period. And that's what you need to learn. And when I got done covering a year and a half of ISIS going through, besides being sick to my stomach over the first-hand reports I was getting, I learned that it doesn't matter. Even today it doesn't matter. And I've seen pastors from different denominations challenge each other, yelling and screaming, and they'd been in the pulpit for a long time. This is not what we're about. I've seen Christians that love, you know, their own little thing that they're doing, their own little groups that they have over and above the Word of God. The Lord said, "By this shall you know that you are my disciples if you're a Baptist, if you're a Catholic, if you're Assembly of God." No, by your love. He says, "And if you love me, you will keep my commandments." And I gave you the marching orders tonight. You had better learn the bottom line to this tribulation, even if you don't think you're going to be there. Because God forbid, it could come at any time. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your blessing. Bless those that hear this, Father, in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Amen. Okay, Tower.
Amen. Well, that was good, huh? Didn't get very far, but it's very interesting. And you know, I used to think that stuff was coming 21 years ago, and now it's even closer.
We did. We thought the rapture was going, and we thought the pre-trib folks. And that's not why we don't believe. It's just the Lord revealed it to us. And you can say, well, and then he confirmed it. But
doesn't matter.
It really, it doesn't matter. We don't think about it. We're waiting for the Lord to come. And he will come in his own good time. Until then, we're to be working.
And to be faithful.
And to be faithful. That's what we're to do. We're not to spend all our time thinking, oh, goody, you know, I'm going to be in the pre-trib rapture and the rest of these slugs are going to be here. Good riddance. No. Yeah, that's what Christians think. Don't tell me they don't. I've been around a lot of them.
I know a lot think they're going to get out before they get there, have to go through any bad stuff, but I think they're going to be in for a surprise.
Yeah, even when I believed in the pre-trib at one time and taught it, I always would tell everybody when I was teaching on it that you're going to get your tail feathers singed before you're going out of here, though.
On the way up.
Yeah. On the way up, yeah. So make no mistake about it. It's time to seek the Lord.
Amen.
We got to get out of here.
Well, be sure to join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar and our in-depth study on Thessalonians Election, Part 2. We love you. We pray for you. Thanks for joining us. God bless you and for all you do. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Truly embracing your complexities means rejecting anything that can harm who you are, like smoking cigarettes, which can damage nearly every part of your body. Tap the banner to see more. This free life, freedom to be tobacco free.